How do you approach the scriptures?
If we go law without grace, yeah, you read the Bible and you just feel like, man, I got beat up. If we have law with grace, we go, great, I learned some stuff and I feel clean and fresh and forgiven. That's the way he wants us to hear his word. And if we're not hearing that, either it's not being communicated clearly enough, or we are hearing it the way we've been conditioned, you know, to hear it.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hands, and the instrument I play, wake up my voice, let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Are you experiencing the joy of the Lord, friend? As we'll learn today on The Balanced Word, it's the joy of the Lord that's our strength. Put another way, it's joy from Jesus that makes you strong. Pastor Dave Rolfe will show us how it's really tied into how we read and respond to the Word. We're going through the Bible, considering various Bible stories as we do. We stop off in Nehemiah chapter 8 today and focus on the joy of the Lord.
A good thing to do is to look at your life and go, do people just readily tell me when they messed up? Or, you know, do they conceal it? Some of that's natural, but some of it is because we have been the kind of people who, you don't want to tell me what you've done because then I'm going to go, you did what? Why did you do it? What were you thinking? Let's go back and do an autopsy on the whole thing. You're going, look, it's done. I said, I'm sorry. Can we forget this? And we're like, no, I'm not going to let you do it. I used to always think about this when my wife, Ann, would hide things from me. I could have got mad at her about it, but mostly I would go, wow, why did she feel like she couldn't tell me that? Because how I respond determines whether I'm responding the way God does or the way people do. So quite often somebody would, you know, I'm pulling into the driveway and you can't miss it. There's the thing between the single car side and the double car side is just completely smashed in, big old crack and everything. And coincidentally, the church pickup is sitting there with the bumper bent in. And I didn't have to, you know, be a detective to figure out, oh, you ran into the garage. But she wasn't going to tell me that. I'd go, hey, anything happened today? No, it was great. Hey, Kim picked up some stuff. And I need to go take the truck back unless you want to. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I go, wow, I wonder why it wasn't safe to say that to me. Another time we were sitting in our kitchen there was a friend, I think it was Ann's sister was over, and she looks at the cabinet and she goes, wow, that came out pretty good. And I go, what do you mean? She goes, whoops. And Ann had put a candle right under the cabinet, had burnt the cabinet almost caught on fire and it was all burned, but she was able to cover it up really well. And but I just go, instead of going, how could you do that? I go, why is it that you didn't think I could laugh about that? Why is it that you thought I would thrash you? Think about David when he got confronted by Nathan the prophet for murder and adultery. And he goes, you're the man. And David goes, I've sinned. And Nathan goes, and you're forgiven. God has forgiven you. You're righteous. That's what gospel does. That should be the proper response. Should be, I blew it, and I'm happy that my failure has been forgiven, that my life starts over, that I can start fresh right now. If we go law without grace, yeah, you read the Bible and you just feel like, man, I got beat up. If we have law with grace, we go, great, I learned some stuff, and I feel clean and fresh and forgiven. That's the way he wants us to hear his word. And if we're not hearing that, either it's not being communicated clearly enough, or we are hearing it the way we've been conditioned, you know, to hear it. And I think that's critical because, in fact, it is joy that makes you strong. The word strength there is a word that refers to something solid. It's a fortress. It's like, here's your safe ground. Joy is that? Jesus said it this way over in John 15. He said, I came so that you could have a fullness of joy. Said it again in 16. In 17, in his high priestly prayer, he said, Father, I'm praying this so that their joy can be full, that your joy will be in them and their joy will be full. His disciple John said later in 1 John, I wrote this so that your joy would be full. Why? Because if we are miserable, we are weak. It's as simple as that. And you understand it. I've said it before. No one's going to come up to you and go, you know, we've been working together for quite a while, and I noticed that you always look so depressed and so bummed out. You're always on edge. You're always angry and kind of bitter. And so I'm just wondering, how could I have what you have? I really want to be as miserable as you are. It won't work that way. And yet, sadly, there's a lot of people who are like, yep, Jesus. Like, did Jesus make you mad? Is that what you're talking about? Do you hate people because of Jesus? Is that really your take on it? But when people see someone who's actually happy, oh, the devil is scared to death, because that's what people are looking for. They're looking for real joy in their lives. And, you know, in the Psalms, it says it all the time. In Psalm 32, it says, people are happy when their sins have been forgiven. So are we people who are forgiven? That should make us happy. Now, joy is joy. For them, they then celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles. They then began to celebrate God's deliverance of them. Now, I don't know if everyone in the celebration had a great attitude when they started. A funny thing about celebrating, though, and just eating a good meal, sometimes if you don't feel good in the beginning, if everyone's celebrating, it cheers you up. It's one of the values, I think, of being a sports fan. You know, you go and other people are excited, you tend to get excited. I think so often that sports fans put Christians to shame. Now, a lot of times pastors present this in a negative way. Oh, well, you guys are cheering on the World Cup and you're screaming and yelling and a boring thing like that. And then you come to church and you're just like sitting there. I don't know. I'm not the biggest soccer fan in the world, but I have to admit, man, those people know how to celebrate. I've never in my life seen people jumping around from a 0-0 or 0-0, as they call it, tie. But they do, they celebrate. And you kind of get into it. I hate to admit it, but I'm like a soccer hater, and I'm starting to admire the sport. Now, if every game they just skip the whole game, and then they went right to the shootout with penalty kicks, it would be my favorite sport. Because it's like, that was exciting. And I don't care Brazil or Chile or whoever, you know, whatever banana republic wins the game. I don't even care. You know what? It just feels good to have something to celebrate. When we understand God's word, we go, yeah, we're into this. This is really cool. This is something worth celebrating. And when people see that, when I watch soccer fans, I want to be a soccer fan. I do. I like, man, I'd love to join in there with you. And so, because it's like, it feels good to celebrate. But how come people see Christians as people who walk around with stick in the mud because, oh, it's church time. Let's be holy. Nehemiah goes, you want holy? Get a burger. You want holy? Have a drink. You want holy? Let's celebrate. That's what holy does. How did we lose this? I'll tell you one way we lost it. Because somehow we've got the idea that serious is holy. Serious isn't holy. If you feel convicted, great. Cry and then celebrate. Join with others who are celebrating. It's why home fellowships are important, because there are things that happen in your life where you need the support of others, but also you can't have fun unless you get together with other people. If you're just a lone ranger, life can be really lonely. Yet life is so rich when we get together, and that's what God wants us to have. And so, I mean, we can just look in the mirror and see, How holy am I? How strong am I? I started recently, because I know I'm just a serious kind of person most of the time. And part of that is honestly because maybe it's not totally me, but you know, I've realized over the years, if I start being too funny, I'm going to offend some deeply spiritual Christians, and then I have to deal with the ramifications. There's something that I think is really funny, but I guarantee when people go, wow, that was hilarious today, I'm like, oh boy, here come the emails. I wasn't thinking about it that way, but it will. There are people who will just suck the joy right out of your life. And they're from the pit of hell. Not totally, but that's exactly what the devil would want, is for us to go, okay, if you're funny, somebody might be offended, somebody who hates to laugh, somebody who can't take a joke. So we go, yeah, that's what we want to be. Really? A place where people just feel like, oh, that was so serious. Thank you, Pastor. But, I mean, my life kind of gets that way. So I read something recently where they said every morning you should look at yourself in the mirror and smile and laugh. And I felt stupid doing it. But now I look forward to that time. So at least once a day, I can do it. The funny thing is when you make yourself smile, you actually feel better. And you know, how do we respond to God? That should be the result. And if it is, we're strong. But if we are sticks in the mud, if we are miserable, if we can't take a joke, we're weak spiritually. And there is nothing holy about being weak and miserable. And I don't want to be there. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be the person who thinks, I'm so spiritual, nothing's funny to me. I'd rather be somebody who understands that, you know what? Everything in the Bible that says I'm wrong gives me a way to do it differently. And then he comes right in behind that and goes, and you're forgiven too. That's what's cool. You got to sin and be forgiven. It's such a great deal. And Paul says, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. It doesn't mean, he says, you know, so it's not like you sin just to, and people will often say, oh, you're preaching so much grace that I think people will actually want to sin so they can be forgiven. And I always go, really? Has that been a problem for you, that you haven't sinned enough to be forgiven? Now, pretty much people are going to be sinning no matter what I tell them. The thing is, when I understand the joy that comes from being instantly forgiven, it actually doesn't make me want to go sin more. Because I realize my life is going to be better if I can stop doing stupid things that I'm doing. But it starts with a celebration. And that's what Nehemiah made the point, and Ezra and the Levites agreed with him. You know what? You really want to be spiritual? Celebrate. Find some joy somewhere. I don't care if it's watching a soccer match. I don't care if it's just going out and playing with kids. Don't do it if they aren't your kids, unless you know the parents. Otherwise, you know, you'll get arrested at the park. But, you know, to be able to go, okay, what can I do that's fun? I'll never forget the day when, and I hate giving the story because he probably doesn't care anymore, but my oldest son, Will, when we were teaching him to use the bathroom, we were out somewhere and no potty seat around, but all of a sudden he goes, Daddy, I gotta pee. So I'm like, okay, so I take him in the stall and I have to hold him or he'd just fall in. He's a little kid, 2 years old. So I'm holding him. Those of you who have boys totally understand. It's just like, whoosh. And he's just hitting me in the face and all over. And I'm trying to dodge it while I'm holding. I can't let him go. And Will, the little kid, he's just laughing and laughing. And it was just, it made me mad. I didn't know what to do. And I go, Will, that's not funny. And he goes, yes, it is. And it took me a while, though, to realize it is funny. See, I mean, you guys are laughing. I don't know if it's just the notion of me having pee in my mouth or if it's something more than that. But what's wrong with us when our future is determined and our sins are immediately forgiven? We start fresh every moment in life. And we can't find something to laugh about? We can't find joy? What in the world do you want? What do we need before we finally figure out this is strength to be able to take every circumstance and go, I can see something funny in this. I have a friend, I've known him since he was a kid. He had a rough few days on vacation in Las Vegas. And he had the picture that he put on Facebook, he's got a missing tooth and his ear was bleeding, all this stuff that happened. But he was being funny about it. He was like, had a great attitude. You can't stop somebody like that. You can't, you're going to be drawn to someone who can go, look at that. It's one of the things that I love about my wife. She will see the humor in anything stupid that she ever does. I mean, she does. She'll just laugh and she'll be like, and I used to think the reason why you do this is because you don't take it seriously enough. Now I just laugh with her. I don't care what she does. I love her. And so if she does something silly, big deal. It's not worth carrying a load about. And joy is where ultimately our strength derives in every area. If we're studying God's word and it doesn't give us joy, we instead become less effective. We look like people who haven't ever laughed. We're reading it wrong. We are responding to it wrong. When we read the Bible and understand it and we make sense of it, just like for them in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, the result is I'm happy to find out where I'm messing up because I can work on that. And I'm doubly happy to find out I'm forgiven. That nothing can separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, as Paul said in Romans 8. Nothing. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So boy, did I blow that. And God goes, blow what? Because as soon as I mention it, it's gone. It's forgiven. How can you not love that? How can you not love being completely free? And again, we live in a free country, more or less. It's getting less free, but even that becomes funny. At a point, it's like, you're kidding me. What are you gonna do next? I can either celebrate my freedom and realize God's been good to us, or I can spend enough time reading the news sites and forwarding them to others and being paranoid about the future and go, you know, I'm a Christian, so I can give you a bunch of reasons why you should be miserable. Here, let me help you. And look at happy people and go, they just don't know. They're just ignorant. You know what that person needs, that happy person? They need to know how bad it really is. No, you need to know what it is that's making them happy. And if it's ignorance, go for it. Because whatever's happy makes you strong. Whatever makes you happy makes you strong. God, in his infinite wisdom, wants to work in our lives, and he's done everything he can do to give us the joy that will make us truly powerful. Now, if you're here today and you've never even entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have reasons to be sad. Because if something doesn't happen for your sins to be forgiven, you're just going to find out longer and longer as you live that it's just weighing you down. It's tearing you apart. And your future prospects without those sins being forgiven, according to the Bible, is really bad. And so I would suggest to you, if you don't, maybe there's no one in your life who, when you go, man, you'll never believe what I did, and they go, awesome, you're forgiven. If you haven't found those people yet, find the one who matters most, and that's God. Because what he wants to do is establish a relationship with you where you are free and where whatever it is that you mess up on, all you need to do is go, I blew that, and he goes, I forgive that. His opinion is the only one that matters. So if you've never entered into that relationship with God through Jesus, great news for you. You can do it today. Everything you've ever done, everything you've messed up, all of the reasons why you feel inferior, why you feel put down, why you feel judged, all of that can be wiped out fundamentally by just coming to him. You'll find out the only one who matters, he wants to look at you every day and say, I'm pleased with you. No one else is pleased with you, but I am because of what my son did for you. So if you've never entered into that relationship, I would invite you today. After the service, there'll be people down here who just love to pray with you and tell you, you are forgiven. If you haven't done that, come down and do it. It'll be worth spending a few minutes of your time to get the burden off your back, to receive a reason to celebrate. Let's do that. If that's what you need to do, please come down. It's free. And then for the rest of us, let's just be honest about the fact that we don't have as much joy as we used to. That in some ways, we don't look like we're enjoying this ride. We've lost our ability to celebrate, to smile, to laugh. And let's do what he commands us to do. Start by celebrating. Have a good meal. Watch some sports. Do whatever you need to do that will put you with other people who remind you of what joy looks like. And then go, I have the best reason of all to be happy. Because I'm taken care of for eternity. When we do that as followers of Jesus, powerful things happen. They really do. I want to be strong. So therefore, I want my life to be full of joy. I pray that you do too, and that this week you take some steps to move in that direction. Maybe you need to think about some of the way you spend your time, or even some of the people who seem to suck the joy out of you. Make some adjustments. Find a path toward joy and forgiveness, and you'll just be amazingly blessed, because strength comes only with joy.
You're listening to The Balanced Word. In addition to being our teacher on the program, Dave Rolf is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. We're going through the Bible right now in a series called Bible Stories. We have these messages archived for you at thebalancedword.com, or call and request today's message on CD at 949-362-7475. And as a special appreciation gift for your donation of $10 or more, The Balanced Word is pleased to send you all of these messages in this Bible Story series on a USB thumb drive. You'll hear some of the Bible's greatest stories from Genesis through Revelation. To make a secure donation, go to thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. And don't forget to ask for the Bible Story series as you give. Again, we're at thebalancedword.com. And we'd like to take this time to invite you to Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our Sunday morning service times are at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Again, we're at ccpacifichills.org if you'd like more information. Or if you're outside of the area, you can watch our live stream right there at ccpacifichills.org. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. What do you say we finish up our time together in prayer?
Let's pray. Lord, for the people who don't know you, I pray that through the best way I could try to explain it, that they would understand the simplicity of the good news, that their life can start over today. Help them not to choose misery. Help them instead to choose grace and forgiveness. So if they need to come down here and to pray this to you and get their life right and leave here free, looking forward to their next meal, God, I pray that you would, by your Spirit, just draw them. Help them to know right now, I need to do this. Maybe they've been going to church all their life, but they've never really found a reason to be happy. So help them to come down and just get right with you, to admit their faults and to receive your forgiveness. But for all of us, Lord, help us to use the joy in our lives, the joy in our faces, to let us know whether we're getting your word right or not. We want to be strong. We're sorry for getting ourselves convinced that strength looks like serious, that holiness looks like misery. If holiness looks like celebration, help us to celebrate this year, this week, today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Discovering balanced living through the Word of God, this has been The Balanced Word with Dave Roth. We'll have another great Bible story for you next time. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. Online at thebalancedword.com.
Wake up my soul. Wake up.